If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, we're back. We still exist. Rick and Morty's over. It's done. We're done. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Woo! Yeah.
What Rick and Morty? What most popular animated television show on basic cable? Is it basic cable? How does cable work?
I think
do people still do that.
I don't know. I always basic cable to me was always like what you can get on the antenna ears.
But that's not cable.
No,
that's
you're right.
Air.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, yeah. I guess they do have on air.
It but was it's like HD basic on air. Cable was like channels like 2 through 13, like 40 or something maybe.
Oh.
And then if you wanted like the sports package, that was more. And then you wanted like the like lifestyle package, which gave you like, I don't know, Home and Garden Network and maybe Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network.
I don't think my parents when I was living there had cable. It wasn't until after I left.
I was a PBS kid, no doubt.
Oh yeah. Yeah, the Magic School Bus.
Oh, yeah. With the frizz? No way.
what was that one? The dog. The dog, Ghost Rider. Ghost Rider the dog?
What was that dog's name? Oh,
Nemo?
Gosh. All right. Well, while you think about it, hi, everybody. My name is Travis.
Hey, everybody. My name is Brandon, and welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm, the show that we do when Rick and Morty isn't on the air.
That's right. It's our flagship podcast. You asked for it. Here it is. It's this show. If you're listening to it or watching this on YouTube, thank you for being here. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for lending us your ear holes because this is great. This is an opportunity for us to catch up on all the things that we have wanted to talk about while Rick and Morty was on the air. But we've been so busy recording Interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast, that unfortunately we have not been doing this podcast. But If you are new here, if you are just discovering this for the first time, maybe you found us through Interdimensional RSS. We have a bunch of links for this show that you can follow along with the stuff that we do. You can go to Facebook, facebook.com/apathetic enthusiasm. Instagram is apathetic_enthusiasm. You can email us questions, your thoughts, opinions at apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. And of course, there's our website, apatheticenthusiasm.com. If you go to YouTube, you can go to youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm, like, subscribe, you're going to catch all of our content there. So anything that falls under the you asked for it is going to be on that YouTube. So that includes this podcast, Interdimensional RSS, Our Real Relationships. You can maybe find old episodes of like, submit it for your approval. Twilight Zone podcast might be on there. Who knows? Who knows what you'll find? Go over to our YouTube and you can see what we look like.
That's right.
There is a picture of us on the logo of this podcast though. So I guess you already know what we look like. You know what we look like 10 years ago.
Yeah. Which is coincidentally a lot, very similar, but maybe like I filled out a little bit.
Oh, I have. You have more facial hair. That's
oh
sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Should yeah, we redo our logo? Is it
might be time. You know, what's really funny is our YouTube, youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. this last week celebrated its 10 year anniversary.
Wow.
So, and we did not start this podcast with a YouTube channel. So we've been podcasting a long freaking time.
Like, yeah. 2014, man.
Our YouTube is 10 years old. It could use a lot more subscribers. So if you're listening to this in your ear holes and you're not subscribed to the YouTube, Just go subscribe. You can watch an episode every once in a while.
I don't know why that tickled me.
Big thanks to all the patrons that support all of our podcasting endeavors at Patreon. It is a relaxing time. We're PBS kids. Wishbone.
Hey, all right. Ghost Rider the dog.
I just had to prattle off social media links and then it unlocked the name.
For viewers like you.
That's right. Please support your local PBS station.
That's right.
If you're able. How the heck are you, my man?
Doing
it's been a while since we even did podcasting.
Yes, like it's true. Yeah. We did the episode while I was up in Baltimore. Did we? No, we didn't. We waited until I got back. That's why it's all screwy, because that week, so after Comic-Con, Travis and I spend the whole week there. We have a blast. It's not exhausting or tiring at all. It doesn't take at least a week to get back into like the normalcy of life. So I get back on Sunday night, and then Monday morning I fly out for work, and then Tuesday night I fly back home for Chelsea's birthday. And in that time, it's like, okay, well, maybe I can record on Chelsea's birthday. But then I was like, no, then we end up doing something. And then it's like Thursday, and we hadn't done the season finale of Rick and Morty yet. So it's like,
yeah, kind of a big deal episode. Yeah.
Both of us are tired. Like, I think that episode, I was like, I'm so exhausted. I can't do this, but we have to. And we get a message from Scary Terry. He's like, hey, is everything okay, guys? You didn't release an episode, and you usually are like on top of it. And then Monday rolls around. We're like, okay, should we do an AE or should we do a Rick and Morty podcast for a season recap? And I couldn't on that Monday. I'm like, I needed. Plus, we went to Chelsea's parents for her birthday on Saturday, and then on Sunday went to my parents. And so it was just like, there was not a good like downtime. So Monday.
And I mean, it's good. It's good to take a mental health break. It's good to recover. We had a busy month. Like it was, I mean, per weeks of the month, we released a lot more content than we normally do, even with those breaks, just between the nightly recaps that we did at Comic-Con and some of the extra video content and things like that. Like we did release a lot of stuff. It's going to take a little break, and it's good to honestly, like, there's a different vibe. There's a different level of prep that we have to do for an Apathetic Enthusiasm than we have for Interdimensional RSS. We have to like review episodes. You have to take a lot of notes. This, we actually have talking points, believe it or not. If you've gotten this far into the episode, they do exist. We do have things pre-planned to talk about.
I do even less prep for these. I'm like, oh, I'll just talk about whatever I'm going to talk about.
Do you do less? You do watch the episode more than once. So I guess that is prep.
Yeah, I do more for Interdimensional RSS. Because there's kind of a guideline for, okay, this is what we're going to talk about, right? When we don't have...
It's hard to do less than what we prep for AE. Like, it genuinely is.
Yeah, yeah. So we're back. We do have things to talk about. Travis, what do you have on your list? Because I have a few things.
It was the beginning of May. I think May 5th was the last time we put out an actual Apathetic Enthusiasm in its entirety.
Yeah.
Like, from our homes, like, so yeah, I mean, there, a lot of things have come out. We've absorbed a lot of content, watched a lot of movies and things like that. I don't, do you want to do a movie roundup real quick?
Yeah,
kind of catch up on some of the films that stood out to us over the last few months.
Yeah, let's do a Apathetic Enthusiasm movie roundup.
Two shock jocks. That is a reference to another podcast that I've been listening to that we can talk about later.
So the first movie I want to talk about is Freakier Friday.
Oh man, movie of the summer, am I right?
Dude, yeah, yeah.
Am I right?
Jamie Lee Curtis has never looked better.
Nope. Not in Halloween. Not in Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Nope. Nope.
Never.
Not in Aliens. And cut. What movies did you start watching in May?
That was all the movies that obviously the movie of the summer is K-pop Demon Hunters.
Oh yeah.
Obviously. Uh-huh. Have you watched it?
No. Why would I watch K-pop Demon Hunters? I don't watch anime.
Because you have a teenage child.
Oh no.
That's the reason I watched it.
No, I'll go into what Dexter and I are doing separately.
All right. I will say K-pop Demon Hunters really quick, a movie I had every expectation to dislike. I was like, I'm not big into anime, not really a K-pop fan. And it's not really anime. Like the movie isn't really anime, but some catchy songs in there and
some bops.
By the end of it, I was like, that's not bad. That's not bad. So go watch the most streamed animated movie on Netflix because I said it's not bad.
Huh.
What movie are you watching? What movie did you have queued up?
Speaking of movies that that came out this summer, let's talk about Happy Gilmore too.
I can tell you about the first 18 minutes of that movie.
Okay. Well, you've beaten me because I have not seen it yet at all. Except the trailers. People say, yeah, it's okay.
I liked Billy Madison more than I liked Happy Gilmore. And I didn't dislike Happy Gilmore, but it's not a movie I've revisited a lot in the last 20 years. And they do a lot of heavy lifting in the first 10 minutes of Happy Gilmore to just kind of summarize what like two decades of time would have looked like. There's some real sharp turns that happen at the beginning of that movie to kind of affect Happy Gilmore's situation and kind of set up the premise of the movie. And then I had to make dinner and I was like, I'm just going to pause this. And I'll come right back to it. And that was 3 days ago.
All right.
So,
everybody said, oh, yeah, we watched it. I said, okay, well, in my Chelsea and Dexter, I said, okay, well, I guess I'm not going to watch it. It's one of those things. I'll see it someday because I'm still interested in seeing it. But,
It's weird because the way viewing habits are now, like, growing up, we had TNT and like the TBS. Us Network or USA Network or like and it's Saturday. You're stuck at home. You just flip through channels. You're like, oh, what's this movie? And then TNT is playing with limited commercial interruptions.
All the Star Wars.
Yep. Or... yeah, just random movies, and that's how we happened upon a lot of movies, I think, growing up. And now you have to actively go out and like search for things. Like, yes, streaming networks do their best to put things in front of your face. As soon as you open the app, you're like, oh, here is Happy Gilmore. This, our algorithm says you might be interested in this. Click play now. But you still have to make that decision. You have to choose to start the movie. And I don't do that very often.
We'll get back into our movie roundup here in a second. But talking about basic cable, you talk about like you go through basic cable and it's nighttime. You're like, I want to watch something. What do I want to watch? So you're flipping through a channel and then, you know, you're like, what about this? Like, I don't want to watch this. I don't want to watch this. You go through 40 channels of I don't want to watch this, but you still want to watch something. So you're like, I guess I'm going to watch whatever this is. I'm done. That's why infomercials were so good, because you're like, well, these are easy to digest and I'm going to watch them. Yeah. It's like set it and forget it. And ShamWell, like these are the things you remember. The Ronco.
Ron Popeil. He is the master. Yeah, I think the experience of going to a hotel is the mm-hmm. closest I have to going back to that era of just like most of the time I don't bring a streaming device while I travel. I have like a laptop or my phone, things like that, but I usually don't hook up like an Apple TV to my hotel. Now a lot of hotels already have them baked into the TVs or things like that, but yeah, just turn on cable, flip it through channels.
Yeah,
let's see what's on. I tend to land on ESPN a lot or you know, random channel of like a movie or something, whatever's on.
I tend to anytime I go into a hotel, one of the first things I do is turn on TV. I don't know why, like just have it on in the background. Even if I'm not watching it, I just like to have it on. You know,
break the silence.
Yeah, you know this about me. I just turn on the TV, and then I go to sleep to the TV in a hotel. And that's what I do. Usually, like at nighttime now, whenever I go to a hotel, it's Adult Swim. That's kind of like a go to. I know what's going to be on. It's predictable. So I'm like, okay, I'll probably wake up in the middle of the night to American Dad or Family Guy or maybe Rick and Morty, and then I might stay up and watch it. Or depends on the movie channel in the hotel, right? Because some people have Showtime, some have Max. So I'm like, oh, let's see what's on the movie channel that they've got. I'm like, oh, I haven't seen Gladiator 500 times. Let's watch it again. But you know, like HBO, that's where I watched Gremlins 500 times and Short Circuit 2, 6 billion times. You know, and I don't think I would have watched those movies had those channels not existed. But anyways, getting away from it. Movie roundup.
We went and saw some movies in the theater.
Yes.
I would say probably one of my top movies of the summer. And this was a surprise to me because this would not have been my prediction, was Superman.
Oh.
The James Gunn adaptation over on the DC side now in a summer of superheroes, because what summer isn't? Superman for me was the clearly better movie than Fantastic Four, and I don't think it was close.
I haven't seen Fantastic Four yet, but I'm also I was excited when Fantastic Four got announced, and then the trailers looked good and I was excited, and then it waned. It just slipped away where I'm like, okay, I'll see that when
was it because you walked around Comic-Con and saw all the blood donor Fantastic Four t-shirts everywhere?
Oh, maybe is it because I saw that fantastic drone show last year,
which we totally missed, by the way.
We did. Superman. So it was very, very good. It was a very, very good movie. And
our hot take on a movie that's a month and a half old.
Yeah, James Gunn did it. In my opinion, some people would say no, but I would disagree with them. The whole idea of Superman being a positive force and like he is a beacon of optimism and hope, not just saying like you see this symbol, it means hope. No shame to the Snyder game, but you know, like you can't just say this symbol means hope. You have to feel it too in his actions and in his words and what he's doing. Even when the odds are against him, he's still trying to do what's right. And Gunn Superman did that, like save life at all costs. He's like, you see him and you're like, and then you see how he's acting with Crypto and other people. And he's just like this big, dumb, goofy son of a bitch. But his heart is so good.
Yeah. And I think the heart behind it being the driving factor for this Superman is what makes him most appealing to me. That alongside with having people exist in the world that can go toe to toe with him, and like opening with Spider-Man with Superman defeated basically. Like, the start of the movie is him laying on the ground, beaten and bloody. Like, to me, was the thing that was missing from the Snyderverse Supermans a little bit, like, and the most previous iterations of Superman, is he just felt too powerful. And it felt like knocking down whole cities and things while he's fighting and stuff like that. Like, the power of the competition in DC just felt like I couldn't relate to it. It was on the level of like gods sort of and things like that. And so this version of Superman, he was more personal. He felt more relatable, and it felt like it had more stakes to me, because I felt like the Lex Luthor character was extremely smart, extremely evil, and extremely driven to destroy Superman, and potentially could have been successful. The other cast of superheroes kind of around Superman complimented him well, but also provided like an alternative to like the ones that were more corporate and more like focused on image and things like that, presented, while not a direct like opposition, like this is a way Superman could have gone if he wasn't raised in Kansas with, you know, parents that instilled values in him and things like that.
So. Yeah. All correct. Yeah, I love that. The Green Lantern being a more corporate thing is like, hey, come on, we're superheroes, right? And then like, they're doing it because they want to do it because they want to be superheroes. Where Superman is like, I just want to do what's right since I have this power. Like, I feel like I should do this for people. I should be helping people.
And it's really interesting in that interview he does with Lois, where like he gets really emotional because she's saying like, you shouldn't have violated international laws and all this stuff. And he's like, people were going to die. Like, I needed to go and help these people or they were going to die.
Yeah.
Like, he is out there to legitimately save people that can't defend themselves. And I thought people really connected with that. I really connected with it. And frankly, like, there was amazing action sequences, some great comedic relief throughout the movie, which if you've watched many James Gunn movies, like you're going to see some of that quirky comedy. And it was just fun.
Yeah,
it was a fun movie to watch. You wanted to go watch it again because it was a good time in the theater.
And the other thing, the last thing I'll say about Superman before we continue on with our movie roundup is, as far as we talked about this early on, it's kind of interesting. You talk about the Fantastic Four and in this movie, early on, it was very, hey, Marvel's building this stuff up, and they started slow, methodical. They had purpose. There was a plan to it. And DC was, and I think that's part of why Superman was so strong, is like they weren't putting all the other superheroes in there. They weren't building a universe. They were centering it around Superman. And then now you have to like fit these other characters in to his world, but none of them are as strong as him, because you've already established that in Man of Steel. So then we have this Superman at the same time as Fantastic Four. They're like, Marvel's doing a soft reboot essentially with Fantastic Four. I think they're trying to get to with the introduction of the Reed's kid, Franklin Richards, right? And it's like, okay. But then James Gunn is over here and he's like, okay, yeah, Superman is in this world. Got it. But he is not the only person. Metahumans already exist. They were not in hiding. We don't have to like introduce them little by little. They've always been here. And everybody knows about them already. It's a world where superheroes are a thing already.
And he threw some compelling text on a screen and in a few short minutes established all of that in this version of the universe. And I think it was really effective. Mm-hmm. Like, it was most people know who Superman is and what his powers are. Like, you don't have to like reintroduce all of that stuff. And I think transitioning to Fantastic Four a little bit, I think that's where Marvel missed a little bit more with Fantastic Four is we've had what, three other Fantastic Four movies in the last 20 years. Like, for the most part, people that are going to go see Fantastic Four, like, get it. Like, get the idea of who these characters are, what their powers are. Yes, you're trying to establish a new reality. This is a different, you know, multiverse dimension where the Fantastic Four exist. But, and I know you haven't seen it yet, the pacing for Fantastic Four starts off very quick. Let me introduce all four of these characters, the world that they live in, how they got their superpowers, what the dynamic is between them. And like, it all happens very fast and it feels very rushed, like a bunch of setup. And then like, then they set up, okay, also like there is the Silver Surfer that's come and it's threatening Earth. And oh, and it's tied to this Galactus that's like a godlike figure and a celestial. And so then we got to set up some other stuff with this and like more setups. Like 45 minutes into this movie, I was like, we're still setting things up. Like, could we take a breath and like have something?
And Galactus like, is already like half eaten the planet at that point in time. I'm almost done, guys.
what you said like really kind of like makes a lot of sense because yeah, the point of this movie is setup. It is setting up the reset of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Really, like you go five movies from now. There's some stuff with Doctor Doom. There's some other things going on. This movie introduces a baby, the kid of Reed Richards and is it Sue Storm? Is that
yeah.
her name?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that is an important character, but like all of this movie exists to kind of set up that character.
Yeah.
And then introduce them a little bit and then hopefully have these characters be in some other Avengers movies and things like that. But it just felt like it was exhausting.
Yeah.
For me, honestly, like it was, and then by the end, because everything felt so fast and quick, I didn't feel like I had really established a meaningful connection with the characters as much in the same way that I did in Superman, where like I wanted Superman to win, not just because he's the good guy, but like I liked the character. I liked the personality of the person that was like playing and was in that role and was like, yeah, I want this guy to win because of what he stands for.
Yeah.
And I just didn't have that same feeling with Fantastic Four.
It's just a dog. Like, yeah, but, and he's not a very good dog either, but.
But he's cute and he's, Crypto he, is.
He's probably yeah. alone and scared and gotta go get him. Yeah. So that's our Superman Fantastic Four. What else have you been watching?
Well, I want to ask you about a movie that you were very excited for.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it.
And we talked about it a little bit in San Diego, but then this is the part of the show where I haven't seen the movie and you have. The Naked Gun. There he is, Leslie Nielsen.
I want you to pull my finger.
Did you get that at the theater?
I sure as hell did. Woo, Naked Gun.
Liam Neeson. That's his name.
Liam Neeson, yes.
Not Leslie Nielsen.
Leslie Nielsen from the original Naked Gun. Liam Neeson's for the new Naked Gun. Yeah, man. So it came out on August 1st. Came out on my birthday. And Chelsea's...
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Chelsea said, what do you want to do for your birthday? And I said, go see the Naked Gun. So we did. We went... Dexter, Chelsea, and I went to go see The Naked Gun, and you know, the original series and from the Files of Police Squad are such, to me, like, such great comedies. Same thing with like Airplane, Kentucky Fried Movie, like the team of Zazz. Those movies really, you know, like that, it was dad humor to max. Like that was dad humor before it was called dad humor. Like the Leslie Nielsen in The Naked Gun, it's like joke after joke after joke. And like, sometimes there's so many jokes that your brain has just caught up to the fact that there's a joke right in the middle of another joke. So it's rapid fire. It's fast paced. What I'll say about this version of The Naked Gun, which was directed by Akiva Schaffer, one of the Lonely Island guys.
Yeah. Lonely Island alum. Yeah.
He directed it. It's a very, very funny movie. The one thing that Chelsea and I both kind of left out of the theater was like, it wasn't as rapid fire as those early movies are. And that's okay. Liam Neeson is not Leslie Nielsen. But there are still a lot of very funny gags. There's a lot of really funny scenes. And I don't want to talk about the scenes because then it'll like kind of spoil the humor. But I left being like, I liked it. I wish it was paced a little bit differently. But then I talked to somebody else about it. I talked to a few other people about it and some of the gags. And it was just, we're just cracking up about some of the jokes that are in there. And I'm like, okay, yeah, no, it's good. It's good. It's one of those movies that you're like, Liam Neeson, his deadpan is so great. Pamela Anderson, she's really good. She does there's a scene where she is doing some jazz singing that she's doing. She does really good.
Okay. All right. I'm sure people have seen the movie. We'll get that, and I will find out about it in like 3 months when I stream it on TV or something.
Yeah, there's some of the in the trailer, there's some of the jokes. I talked to you early on at Comic-Con where I was like, you know, some of those early trailers, I wasn't sure about the tone of the movie because it didn't feel like very Naked Gun humor. One of the gags people loved in the trailers, which I wasn't a huge fan of, was they're all the people of Police Squad are looking at pictures of their fathers and crying and be like, "Dad, oh, I miss you. And then it gets to a picture of OJ, and then somebody is in front of it who's presumably his son. And he just looks at the camera and he's like, "Nah." And I was like, it was too like on the nose, I think. If I saw it in the movie and that was the first time I saw it, then I'd be like, okay. but that kind of humor I wasn't super into. So I was happy to see then in subsequent trailers where he's like, "I see you. I see you were arrested for man's laughter. Must have been quite the joke." He's like, "Manslaughter?" But oh.
It's definitely a movie I want to see. I can't think of the last time I got out for a night on the town to go see a comedy in theaters, mm-hmm. which I feel like is kind of tragic, but also just kind of the state of where I am in life a little bit too. Like, I love comedies still, but it's something I tend to watch more like, but I don't know, like, something about being in a theater for a comedy, like the jokes hit more, I think, like when you're with a group and everybody's laughing and having a good time. So
yeah,
I don't know, maybe I should go out and see more comedies and not just epic superhero movies in the theater anymore.
I do recommend it. It's got a lot of laughter in it, and there's a scene like in a like kind of a montage love kind of scene that I was dying during. Recommend it.
I'll definitely have to check it out. You mentioned the director, Akiva Schaffer, right?
Yeah.
He, one of the Lonely Island gang. Very recently, probably in the last, within the last month, I started listening to a podcast that's been out for probably a couple years now, at least a year and a half. And it is the Lonely Island and Seth Meyers podcast. Mm. That is the title. And it is all of the Lonely Island gang with Seth Meyers, and they are going through episode by episode all of the SNL digital shorts that the Lonely Island worked on. There's like over 100, I think. And they're just talking about each one, having behind the scenes conversations about the production of each one, what went into like making it. So it's cool because if you go back to the beginning and you start with those like early days of right when they started on the show, I love SNL. I've grew up on SNL, and the sort of like behind the scenes of how that show goes from nothing at the start of a week with a brand new host to producing like an hour and a half of live television on a Saturday night. It's fascinating to me, just the entire process, the way Lorne Michaels like runs that show to like, they make a ton of sketches and then some go on, some don't. And just all of the behind the scenes conversation is really fascinating to me. So it's interesting to have Seth Meyers, who was there for the entire Lonely Island run, both as a cast member and then as like lead writer, and he was doing update for a lot of that run. They don't just talk about the shorts, they talk about all the other sketches, they talk about interesting stories with the hosts and things that happen. And it's just, if you're an SNL fan and you're not listening to this podcast, I highly, highly recommend it, because it's just, and they're just like easy to listen to episodes. I'll crank through like a couple in a day, just on my drive or whatever, because they just, a bunch of friends just having fun conversations about being on one of the most unique shows in the history of comedic television.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
So you're talking about friends in comedy, and how they've come together. So getting back into a movie, right? So talking about directors. So Akiva, as a he's in comedy, then he becomes a director, and then he was part of SNL. Then you have this guy named Zach Cregger, who was in the troupe Whitest Kids You Know. And he has since become a horror movie director. He directed the movie Barbarian 2020, with Justin Long. And like, it's basically like an Airbnb horror movie type of thing. And then he directed the movie that just came out this weekend, Weapons, which stars Josh Brolin, some other folks, Josh Brolin mainly. Benedict Wong is in it as well. And so we went and saw that on Saturday. It was a movie that like it came out on Friday, and I'd heard really good things about it, and like the they kept everything secret enough about the plot of the movie that I was intrigued about what the movie was about. So not you being a horror guy, you know this already, but if you don't, the plot of the movie is that at one night at 2:17 in the morning, 17 kids opened their front doors and then they ran out into the night and not to be found again. All these 17 kids were from the same classroom, and there was only one kid in the classroom that actually showed up, and the teacher. And so the story takes place about like a month after that, after like a bunch of stuff's going on. And so it's like, it's a really good movie. The more I think about it, the way it's structured, they go like POV, kind of like almost like a novel type of chapters. Like they start with one character and it says like the title, like Justine does her part. And then it goes to the next part, Archer, which is Josh Brolin's part. And it keeps going like that. And then you know, in like all good anthology movies, you start seeing where all of those stories have intersect from time to time. Mm-hmm. It's really good. And then, you know, it, the type of story, it's not, I'm not generally a fan of the types of stories as far as like the supernatural aspects of things that it ends up being, but I thought it was still really, really good. So
what was it called?
Weapons.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a horror. There is some gory stuff, but it's also a mystery kind of movie. Cause you're like, what happened to these kids? What's going on in this city? So very, very good. So Zach Cregger, he's the director, Wise Kids, you know. And what's interesting, I read a couple interviews with him. And so one of the other Whitest Kids, you know, his name was Trevor. Like he died a couple years ago. And I thought he did commit suicide, but it turns out like he just had an accident where he fell off of his balcony. So he died on August 7th. And so Zach released this movie on August 7th. So it turns out it was like this movie was partially to help him try to cope with death. And so it's watching it. I would like to watch it again through that lens because I see a lot of things to it. But anyways, all that aside, it's very, very good. Recommend.
All right. I'm opening a tab about it right now. Oh, the poster looks really creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah.
Don't like that.
We saw it in theaters, right? And we talked, let me go back to another point you made about comedies, seeing comedies in theater, like comedies in theaters, right? You want the laughter, you want all that type of stuff. And you don't mind some talking because there's lots of funny things going on in horror. What I know there's like, it's so fun to watch horror in theaters. I don't know if I like watching horror in theaters with a bunch of people. It's like, shut the fuck up. Like this guy in front of me was like, he's like, why are you loudly sighing that you're comfortable now? That's unnecessary, dude. What the fuck? All right. Sorry. Anyways, I hate that guy. Yeah. I pushed him
very,
off.
Very disruptive. Very disruptive. I think that does it for me on movie roundup. Do you have any other movies that you wanted to talk about in your talking points?
No, I don't think I watched
a suspense movie. It almost counted as a horror movie. And Sheena turned it on the other night and then she's like, you could talk about this on your podcast. That's not a good impression of my wife.
you could talk about this on your podcast.
Have you seen this movie?
No.
It's about a girl, a lady that goes on a blind date or it's not like a blind date. She's meeting somebody from one of the apps or something, but she's there waiting for him to get there. And somebody starts, the entire premise is that somebody is airdropping her like photos and then they like turn into memes and there's like kind of twisted, like dark memes. And then they start getting really personal. And then, the person is basically like cloned her phone and is manipulating her because there's somebody at her house threatening to kill her son if she doesn't kill her date or something like that. And so it's a kind of like mystery of like she's trying to figure out how to work her way around this, figure out who in this restaurant is doing this, because like airdrops, you have to be within a certain distance of people to airdrop. So like the person has to be close. It was interesting. It wasn't a great movie, but it's like a 2-year-old movie too.
Why don't you turn your Bluetooth off? You know, change it to contacts only.
That's where my brain went at first. Like you start getting two of the, like I would have gotten the second one and been like, oh, contacts only, or just like do not disturb mode. God, I'm here to see someone. Like, get out of here. Like, unfortunately, like my child would have died at that point based on the premise of the movie.
Yeah.
But I would have been like, I would have enjoyed a meal with somebody, I guess.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, this is a good date. Oh, there was some weird ass person trying to airdrop me memes and shit.
Have you ever gotten airdropped weird stuff?
No, never.
I think mine's on contacts only, so I never get.
Same.
Well, unless it's from one of my contacts. Shout out to Sam, who's probably the only person listening to this. He'll probably airdrop me something weird later. All right. What else you got on your list of talking points, or was that it? Did we reach the end?
No. We started recording, I say a little bit late, but it's mostly on time because I went.
We recorded at exactly the time we usually start.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. I went to work early today and for cybersecurity training. And so, which means I got home early. And so it's throwing off my time. Usually we would record later because I would say this is our normal time. And then it'll be, anyways. So I was a little later to get to our normal time today because I texted you and I was like, I'll be right there. I'll be there in a couple of minutes. Dexter and I are trying to cheat at this game. So we were playing Night Rain. Duos mode came out, and so we surprisingly didn't play that nearly as much as I thought we would. But then he's like, hey, you want to Grounded 2 is on Game Pass. You want to play Grounded 2? And I don't know if we ever talked about Grounded. Did we ever talk about Grounded, I?
Is that the one where you're like a tiny person?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. Like Honey, yeah, I Shrunk the Kids.
We did.
That's right.
Talk about it. Cause I remember working on the episode image for it. That's the reason I know.
That's right.
That we talked about that game. Yeah.
So Grounded 2 is in alpha. It's on Game Pass. You can play it. And so Dex is like, hey, let's, you want to play this? I'm like, I was kind of hesitant, but you know, Cat's in the Cradle. If I don't spend time with them now, there'll be a time that I don't get to spend time with them. So I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So we've just been playing a lot of that. Like yesterday we played maybe from like 2 PM to midnight. we played a lot. And so it's glitchy. The game crashes here and there and I got to jump back in. We got very basically to like the last boss. And then it was too hard. And then like we ran out of like bandages and stuff to heal with. And then I had to repair all my stuff, but there was no place to do that in like the last area. So that means like we had to like respawn all the way back at our home base, which is like 10 minutes of, it's not that long, but it's like, but you can ride a mount now. So we have a red ant mount. So just like galloping through the garden on a red ant. So before we recorded tonight, Dexter sent me a text. We're at the phase where parents and kids text each other. It's fun. And he's like, check out this video. And the video is a YouTuber. And he's like, found this insane dupe glitch for Grounded 2. Like, let me put this on the TV. Let's watch this, Dexter. So we're watching. I'm like, oh, shoot, that's really easy. Like I want to try that now. He's like, yeah, me too. I'm like, go turn on your Xbox. Let's go. and that's why I texted you like, we're gonna be a couple minutes late.
Yeah. By the time we're done recording, he's gonna have full stacks of every resource in the game. It's gonna be done. He's
that's what
have
I
it all figured out.
Before I came in here, I said, all right, so you got to start farming some duplicates. So all of our armor could be good so we can go beat that last boss. And so the first time we did it, we're like, ooh, we're doing it.
I'm sure they will fix it in a patch. You gotta get that, you gotta stay on top of that.
Gotta do it now.
Speaking of playing games with your kid for 12 hours. Yeah, that's what I did this weekend.
Yeah.
It was the final weekend of Lorcana Set Champs. Usually that take place over the course of a month. Missed the first week because I was out in San Diego hanging out with you at Comic-Con. And then, so we got to play last couple weeks, and then we played on Saturday and Sunday to maximize our chances at being successful. The tournament we played at on Saturday was an hour away from our house. Whew. So I had to I had to drive an hour to get out there, and it started at 10 a.m. So, like, we left my house at, like, 8:30 so we could be there a little bit early and start at 10. A lot of the tournaments we've been playing this month had less than 18 people for whatever reason, and which has not been the norm in past seasons. So those were only four-round tournaments. So I was like, all right, well, the one we're going to, it's kind of away from the major city, and maybe it'll be a little bit smaller. We'll go out to this. Well, there were like 19 people there. Oh. So it was a five round tournament before the top eight cut for finals and stuff. And then they decided to put a lunch break in the middle of that five rounds. So it was like 6 hours. And then I was in like fourth place at the end of that five rounds. So I made it into top eight. Won my top eight matchup. So then I was playing in top four, won that one. So then I was playing top two, lost in the finals, which I'm okay with. But it was like 7:30 when we were done playing. And then I still had to drive an hour home. So I was 12 hours of my Saturday was dedicated.
And you're like
to
smacking yourself. Stay awake. Stay awake.
The person I played in the top four matchup, she was like, yeah, I think she like made an error at one point in playing something. She's like, yeah, I think I'm definitely hitting the tired phase at this point. Like, this is going to be a bit much, but I had a very successful weekend of Lorcana. Got like pretty much top four in both tournaments, second place on Saturday. So
yeah,
felt good.
And your kid just keeps winning and winning.
I beat him. I beat him on Saturday.
Oh, you beat him?
I beat him. It was the first time I'd beaten him in like two months. So yeah, it was quite a day, quite an event.
He's like,
I have to show you something that I made. 3D printing, that's the other thing we're obligated to talk about on Apathetic Enthusiasm. doing a little bit of having fun with coming up with ideas and actually doing some 3D modeling on the mm-hmm. computer and then printing it and then like trial and error stuff. So for trading cards, right, you got trading cards, and then people put them in sleeves, like loose sleeves like this, right? So you put it in your loose sleeve. But if it's a really nice card, then maybe you use a top loader like this, which is a little bit firmer plastic. You put it in there, right? And then it helps protect the card. But then, you know, you just got it in this like plastic thing. Like, what are you going to do? You throw it on your shelf, you put it in the mail, whatever you do.
Yeah.
So I wanted to create some sort of display for this is my Jafar enchanted promo card that I got for winning. But this is a frame that I designed and printed. My goals for it were to be able to print in place with no supports and be able to then just slide in one of those top loaders into the back, and then it would display your card like that. And it's got like a little stand on the back so you can like prop it up or whatever.
Yeah.
I want to make a design where you can like put it on your wall or something like that, or connect them together so that if you wanted to, you know, display all of your nice fancy cards or something like that, you could do it. But it's always so satisfying to like have something in your brain. It's like, I know how it should work. Like, I know how it should be assembled. And then to actually have the means to make it like a reality within a day, it's such a satisfying experience.
Yeah, yeah, man, that's awesome. It's like my bar in the backyard. This weekend, I had a bunch of extra wood. I'm like, I was trying to clean up the area, and then I was like, oh man, you know, this bar I built by hand.
You didn't make it out of a human hand.
I was like, you know what? I've got these planks of wood. I should put shelves on this thing. And then I just really, really half-assed it and got those shelves on. And I'm like, yeah, this looks janky as shit, but I did it. my planning is far less conceptualized than yours. Yours is like, you're like, I know what I want. I can't picture it in my brain because of the whole aphantasia thing, but I know what I want.
I have a concept.
Yeah.
I just don't see it.
I sense it. I don't have that. And it's like, even like songwriting is such a incremental building block of a process for me, or start with a lyric, or maybe I'll start with a lick or a progression, and then I'll start building off of it from there. I don't have like a whole, like, this is what I have in mind. Which is why I'm not a good carpenter, or I'm not a good mason, or anything that like takes really precise measurements. And like, it's just not me. I have to do the trial and error. But the thing is, with physical labor, it's not, you don't always want to do trial and error, because
yeah, especially if materials are more expensive. So I think accidentally taking 5 years of drafting classes in my 4 years of high school has ended up helping in a lot of other places, whether that's
sense.
Getting like a graphic design degree, or, you know, like working with 3D modeling and 3D printing and stuff like
that.
What
are you using to model? Are you using AutoCAD?
I am using Autodesk's Fusion 360.
How much is that?
That's free. It's okay. A personal license. If I'm not like selling stuff or selling designs, like, you can use it personal.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that use Tinkercad, which is like a web-based, like, in-browser 3D modeling tool for like really simple structures and things like that.
Yeah. Because I talked about this at Comic-Con, but I'm like, yeah, I think I'm ready to use my 3D printer to try to do some cosplay.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I need to upgrade my printer.
Yeah, you still have the Ender or whatever.
Before I get into that, I'm still rocking an Ender, but yeah, I get some clone armor or something. I don't know, something dumb.
Yeah, a Gromflamite mask.
All right, we are approaching an hour. We're almost out of time. We did a lot of San Diego Comic-Con content. But now that we're a couple weeks removed from it, any moments that stand out for you that maybe we haven't talked about, anything that surprised you at Comic-Con, or something that you're excited that happened that has stuck with you now that the sheen of San Diego has been washed away?
I bought those Scott Pilgrim pixels, and
that's right, that the thrill joy. Scott Pilgrim mini pixel L's or pixel.
Yeah.
L's,
yeah. Those guys,
these guys,
this is actually the redemption, card. Oh. So we'll get into that. Right. So it's all those little boxes, you know, those blind box things. Well, yep. we Travis and I, we wait in line for the thrill joy to get the exclusives. We wait in that line. It's long. And then by the time we get up front, everybody has taken everything that we want. Like right as
and
we
it's
get.
It's not even 10 a.m.
It's not even 10 a.m. Like right as we get there, they're like, oh yeah. Oh, you wanted a garbage pail kit? Gone. Oh, there's that Scott Pilgrim, the big one. Gone. Okay. Well, I guess I'll get this. Gone.
We're literally standing in the booth. In the little zigzag to like purchase at the counter, looking at the stuff we want to buy as they are being sold out, like in front of our eyes.
Jason Voorhees gone. It's like, gosh, dang it. Okay. Well, maybe this gone. So by the time I'm next, there was like one Scott Pilgrim thing. No, there was like one thing that was, it was the box. It was the box of Scott Pilgrim. There was a box of six Scott Pilgrim minis. There's the big one, the 12-inch one, and then there's the mini ones. And so I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm just going to buy the box of Scott Pilgrim boxes. And the guy in front of me is like, I'll take one of those. Like, the box? He's like, no, I'll take one of the box. One.
Yeah, because there were two outside of the box, and then there was the full box. Yeah. And I had purchased the two.
That's right. You're a little
standalones. Because, like, I went there for the full-size Scott Pilgrim, and then that sold out while we were in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I was like, well, I'll just get a couple of minis, because we were discussing in line. You're like, I'm going to get the box. And the guy in front of us, we had talked to him. He's like, well, I really want the Jason. And if not, like, my backup is the Batman. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm just really here for Scott Pilgrim stuff. And then all of that stuff had sold out by the time he gets to the front of the line. And he buys the thing that he knows we wanted. But yeah. I was like, all right, dude.
Yeah. So they
cracks your box.
They crack open the box to get one. And I'm like, do you have any more of the full boxes left? And they're like, no. I'm like, okay, well, I'll just take those. I'll just take those five. So then we get back to the shuttle. We're going back to the hotel, leave on that final day. And we're just opening up the boxes. So Pixel has something in those blind boxes, which is like the golden Pixel.
Yeah, and the chase.
Right? Yeah. You're chasing after it. So if you get the golden Pixel chase, then there's a redemption code. You turn that in and then you get like a special edition Thrill Joy.
Which we knew nothing about. Like, we knew very little about even this company, Thrill Joy,
yeah,
going into it, which I later discovered the guy that like started Funko Pops basically like left Funko. Started this new company. So it is, again, they're vinyl figures. Yeah. They're very similar to Funko Pops. All of them are blind boxes. So all of the ones you buy may have one of a different variant of that character in the box. So it's the collectability and rarities like change. A lot of them are all limited edition. So they have like a little stamp on them that will show.
Yeah, like how many how many pieces have been printed?
Yeah, I didn't realize until I was home that this was the first time Thrill Joy was at San Diego Comic Con, because the company didn't exist during Comic Con last year.
Oh,
so like I feel really good about the fact that I bought one of their like signature characters as a San Diego Comic Con exclusive, even though it's not in the Comic Con stuff. Like, just the fact that I have that character from the first year that they're at Comic Con, right. That's kind of a win.
Because if they keep going, if they like keep surging in popularity, I mean, that thing is going to be.
Yeah. I'm glad that box got all dented up in my suitcase. anyway, you got a chase. You got this golden Scott Pilgrim in yours. And I was like, that's really cool. Like, you got a rare one. That's not knowing anything other than the fact that you got one that was hard to find.
Yeah, right. And so I remember like when we were waiting in line, I looked at the thing. It was like, find the golden Pixel and you redeem a prize or something. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But I thought that it was like, well, we've already left, so I'm not going to go back to the booth now and get that. And so then I was like, when I got home on Sunday, I looked it up, like, what's going on with this golden Pixel? And I was like, if you get the golden Pixel, there's a code in there. You got to go to redemption.pixel.com. And I was like, oh, shit. So then I went to like my big bag where like all the trash was. And I was like, where is this code? And so like I just have a bunch of these. Like, where is it? Where is it? And then I found it. I found it in one of the bags. And it was like in the corner of the bag, like just like kind of scrunched up. I was like, I am so glad that I'm such a fucking slob sometimes that I didn't throw everything away right away, because yeah, that thing would have been gone. And I'd be like, yeah. No, I trust me. I have the golden Pixel. So anyways, redemption, I go to redemption, do a form. And then they sent me an email back and like, congratulations, we're going to send you a limited edition Scott Pilgrim 12 inch, in the third quarter.
I think that is really interesting to me. I am dying to see what this looks like, because these Pixel, like the little mini ones that we got, they're maybe like 2-inch figures. They're really small. The full size ones that you buy, like the boxes are a little bit bigger, but the figures themselves are maybe 6, eight. I think maybe they're definitely not 12 inch figures.
Oh, really?
So the fact that you're getting a 12, it says 12 inch figure, like that's a foot. Like that's a big Scott Pilgrim figure.
Yeah, you're right.
So, I am very interested to see what this looks like once you get it. And I'm not insanely jealous or anything like that at all.
Yeah.
Probably keep it in the box. Maybe I think that might be that might be a good call.
This is the one. This is one of them I'm not going to keep in the box because, you know, I want it fair and square.
All right.
And maybe they won't send it to you in a box. And fuck that guy who tried to. He probably got the Ramona that I needed. So I will talk about that real quick. Like, I like how the Travis showed this on camera already, but like how the display fits together. Like, there's little displays. There's magnets in there, so the figurines doesn't fall out of the display, and like you can move the display. They click. It's so cool. The guy who got the box. He got that Scott Pilgrim label, which I'm not happy about. But I got the Golden Pixel, so it's fine. It's fine.
I'll trade you this for your 12 inch.
I'll give you the Golden Pixel for that.
All right. Well, I'll talk offline. All right. Anyway, yeah. If I hadn't put the Thrill Joy boxes way up above where I'm at, to where I'd have to stand on my chair to get one. I would show on stream what the boxes look like, but, not those little boxes. Hold on. All right, guys, stick with me.
Anyway, Thrill Joy. I do like that company. I was surprised how packed that line was and how many people wanted to get in there, it being such a new company, but hey, that's all right. I got this Roosevelt shirt. But it looks like results, and then I made that joke, and none of the people there laughed.
Nobody laughed. All right, so this is Blue. This is the they're like main characters. So all of these boxes come wrapped in white cardstock, so you can't actually see what's in the box. You can just see on the back what options are in there, and then they actually have like a little tearaway thing on the back. And then that will reveal which character you get, depending on how many they make. So this is one of 1,000 figures that they made, but this is like their main character.
So like Blue. all of their boxes, even the big ones, are blind boxes.
Correct. Yeah. So with my, what was it? What was that other company? I had an exclusive with them. So they were selling them. At another booth, and these were Animaniacs ones. So it was listed as Wacko, but then you could get the Chase, which was Dot, 1 in 6 chance, or the Super Chase, which would have been Yakko. So they're all listed as Wacko, but then when you open them up, then you see what you actually got. I got a Wacko. But yeah, so this is limited to 6,000 pieces, so it's got a bronze little stamp on it. But then like this one was limited to 1,000, so it's like a silver, and then so some collectability like details that go a little bit above and beyond from like a Funko Pop. But
yeah.
And then obviously the blind box aspect of it as well. Kind of scratches that itch for some of the collectors.
That's kind of cool. And for like resale, right? Like you go to any store now, any comic store, any Target, any Walmart. There's just like so many Funko all over the place, right? And like especially like a comic store, right? They're just like the walls are lined with just shit tons of them, right? And they're all like 3 for $5 or 3 for $15. This is a cool way to be like, here, now actually tier, like if it catches on, here, tier these up. The silver is $10. I don't know, whatever.
I don't know. They're really good looking figures.
Yeah.
I mean, blind boxes have not necessarily gone down in popularity. Just ask the Labubu fans.
Can this be the last thing we talk about? Because it's, yeah, I'm ever. So mad. I'm so, nah, so Labubu is this look, nothing against people who have kids who love Labubu.
Right. or their children that love
them. Or their children. But I'm
there
like
one specific child, actually, because there's just one of my kids that was
I didn't realize till this year. Well, because it seems like a fairly new turnaround. How
that's pretty recent. Yeah.
Yeah. How quickly Labubu became a thing and just all over the place in like scalping and reselling and like raising prices. And I'd heard that the guy who made Labubu, they weren't popular for a while, but then like some K-pop person found them and then it was like, oh, now we love them. Everyone wants them.
Yeah. Yeah. The company that makes them became a huge booth at Comic-Con, and almost every of the like resale booths where there's like collectibles and things like that were selling Labubus at a average of a $20 markup. Well, I'd say an average of a $35 markup.
Jeez.
You could find them a little bit lower, a little bit higher. I bought my kid one because she wanted an authentic one. And the booth I bought him from, he had him like priced $10 lower than other booths. But they open all of the boxes. They slice open part of the box so you can see which one's in there, which to me was actually kind of a benefit because I was like, hey, kiddo, which specific color did you want? So then I only have to ever buy one more of these instead of, you know, blind. Oh, I didn't get the one I want. I want to buy another one. Yeah, well, I don't want to take out a second mortgage so that you can hang more little monsters on your crossbody bag. So,
yeah. Crossbody bag.
She came out of her room the other day and legitimately said crossbody bag. And I was like, stop calling it a crossbody bag. And nobody knew I was quoting Rick and Morty except for me.
Yeah. That's funny. Well, anyway. Travis, welcome back to Apathetic Enthusiasm. This was fun. Anybody who is having as much fun as we are on this show, you can find us in a few ways. Of course, Apathusiast, Apathetic Enthusiasm, YouTube, Apathetic Enthusiasm.
We did all this at the top of the show.
No, I know, but you always do it at the end too, right? You're like, but you know, hey, remember to find us.
This is where we tell you to rate, review, subscribe, leave a comment, send us a voice note. Send us a DM with a voice note. Maybe we'll include your voice on an upcoming episode.
Honestly, that's not a terrible way to hit us up. DMs in Instagram with a voice note. Hell, you know, we don't need a phone number. You don't need my address. Just do a voice memo.
Yeah, we'll do a Q&A episode if we get enough voice notes.
Yeah.
So send us some voice notes. And we'll do a Q&A episode.
We're not telling you what the threshold is.
6 months from now, when do we do another one of these episodes?
No threshold. We're not telling you, like, if we get enough, we're not going to tell you what enough is. Enough's enough.
Huh? It's just us doing different voices. Hi, you guys. I was wondering if you guys talked about Lorcana cards.
Guys, this, you know what I'm just saying is, I didn't like your potpourri episode because it was like, you like potpourri? My grandma used to use potpourri.
The Hoogle Gods.
That's not even a question, sir. That's not even a question. you're just saying what you don't like about this. I'm not going to air that. I will not air it.
Can't do it. It's gotta at least be decipherable. So, all right, that's it. Okay. That's the show.
Well, do you think it's like my grandma's poopery?
Okay, now I can respond. No, I don't think it is.
All right. Until next time, I'm Travis.
And I am Brandon. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger, Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.